We will now interrupt your regularly scheduled programming for this Good Old Blades micro podcast.
I've been asked this question quite a bit lately, and it is related to knife making and the reliance on social media. I've espoused the fact that the algorithm, as it were, for social media and the platforms in general have not favored the knife maker and anybody who's doing crafts that could be related to weapons, and I use air quotes there, for quite a while, actually. It used to be in the earlier days of social media where algorithms didn't really exist as much as it related to the ability for you to be seen by people naturally, right? And kind of the way that it goes in social media platforms is that in order to propagate content, a social media developer or provider will display your content to maybe unlikely sources, right? It used to be back in the day with Facebook that when you created a page or a group, you got to kind of choose what area of expertise you were in and what your audience generally was, and then it would try to strum up click-throughs in order for you to get advertising, all right? But the problem is that as legislation changes, as the public view changes, social media a lot of the time augments these search algorithms or these impression algorithms. So that way you get seen by more specific people or demographics. And in the malicious case, or where they're trying to juxtapose their algorithm against their acceptable use policies in terms of service, what you probably find is that they won't stop you from using the platform, but they will severely limit your exposure to the point where you might be the only person seeing your content. And we've seen that a lot with Instagram, especially because they're pretty transparent about flagging content and having people sit behind the scenes, disputing those things with content providers. And I've had to ask myself the question, if a platform allows this kind of restriction of content, how beneficial is it for a business owner? Because at the end of the day, I think that it's business ownership and sharing your craft first, and second is the connotation associated with what you do with those things. Like, what context are those knives or scissors or anything being used, right? And so that is a problem for the knife maker, because there is a narrowing down of the social media platforms that are allowing this content, because really because of the social stigma around it. That is a problem, and it is a problem for you. And if you're continuing to eke out a living, drawing income or attention from social media, you've probably found over the last 4 or 5 years that it's gotten progressively harder. It used to be where you could post something up on Instagram, let's just say, and you might have 1,000 extra followers. You know, somebody mentions something on one of their own Instagram pages, a mention of you or whatever, and you might have tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands. That is no longer the case. In the case of knife makers, especially, the concept of shadow banning has been around for a long time, but I think that people don't really understand that a shadow ban is a de facto a banning of your content being seen by other people without you actively knowing about it or with other people knowing about it. It's a way to deprioritize your content to the point where it neuters your exposure. That is being done, but it's not being done in the shadows. They're basically sending a very clear message that this content is not welcome. And if you decide to use this platform, well, you know, you have what we see today. For instance, I used to be able to grow my Instagram account pretty regularly. I'd have people randomly come through and like content or follow me or whatever, and that grew organically. And the more effort I put into nurturing content and doing it regularly and kind of appealing to the user base, the more often I was seen. No longer. I have to be very, very stringent about my update processes, about what content I'm updating, and that becomes very difficult because I'm catering to an unknown quantity, and it's almost impossible. It's a waste of time, really, because most of that effort doesn't actually equal knife sales for me as a quasi business. It just equals me pushing harder against the algorithm to try to produce some form of sale out of it, or at least some form of reaction where I get a following. And so the reality is that I'm going to say about 90% of the people who follow me are probably other knife makers. They fit into fans. They fit into people who are trying to steal ideas or plagiarize. They're accumulated into people who just want to see new ideas to gain inspiration. You know, whatever. It's all basically in industry espionage of some sort. There's very few that are customers, and even fewer still that actually buy something off of those platforms. And I've had to wonder for a long time if that's the case, not why I slow down on social media, but why I even care about monetizing it. And the reality is that most knife makers have lost the opportunity, or the ship has sailed on being able to monetize their products through social media, and they have to think about it differently. My recommendation is to keep pretty vanilla on social media, to just share content and whatnot. And if you're going to segment your sales, do that on a private website. Stand up a website. It's pretty cheap. If you just want a pretty vanilla e-commerce experience, you can do it for, you know, a one knife a year, de facto, I think. There's lots of different platforms. There's Wix, there's Shopify, there's Squarespace, lots of different places that you can build a website and an e-commerce experience, and then you can tie in merchant providers with credit cards and PayPal and do all of your shipping and everything like that. It's not super, super difficult to navigate, but it is time consuming, especially if you don't really understand some of the rules of e-commerce and, you know, web development, although a lot of this stuff is drag and drop now. But there's also a lot of, people out there that can provide a service where they build it for you. I've done that in the past, and mostly I just do it with like material trades or knife trades or things like that. I'm not interested in profiteering off of my ability to design websites and build e-commerce experiences. Mostly what I'm looking for is an offset to the time I would otherwise spend making knives and whatnot. So you can kind of get the idea there. But the most important thing is that what you're looking for social media to do is to be a sales funnel to your website that you actually own. So as long as you kind of play nice with the machine that is social media, you can actually use it as a directive to your website and to make sales. And it never really violates that the content specifically, because you are not actually trying to use the platform to monetize. You're only using it to showcase your work. You might still run into issues with being, quasi-shadow banned. But at the very least, you're not relying on that traffic. And eventually you create an engine where people know that if they want to see sales, they sign up for your newsletter or they go to your website directly. You know, they can look you up on search engines, so on and so forth. And they're using social media to direct themselves places, versus trying to actually buy your wares through the content that you're posting. I think that that is the healthiest way to look at it. You're not often going to get sales from other knife makers, although it does happen. Most knife makers are the ones that are following you because, again, they're really just looking for industry knowledge or tips and tricks or things like that, which, you know, intrinsically is not bad. But, you know, when you have people that start to scalp ideas and things and then, you know, cut into your market, you do have a little bit of competition then that you're developing by sharing, you know, not only the insider tips and tricks and things, but then also, you know, the finished products and, you know, the inspiration photos and whatnot. So keep in mind that social media needs to be tempered by the outcome that you're trying to achieve. A follower does not equal dollar amounts. And what you'll find with these influencers, quote unquote, on most of these platforms is that they are not actually driving a ton of influence. Not everybody's a Taylor Swift that actually drives that fanaticism to products. Most people don't. It doesn't matter whether they have, you know, 10, 20, 100, you know, 500,000 people. A small percentage of those might actually care about what you're doing, and a smaller group still might care about what your, you know, what the price point is. So, you know, you have to temper marketing and sales and in the context that you're using social media for with how much effort you're going to put into it. And I would recommend you spending more time with your head in your craft and maybe posting things up. Build some sales channels with dealers. That's a better option. Consignments, you know, distribute it out between local knife shops and things and, you know, national ones that might not be in your state. You know, do something to break up this monopoly that social media has on our craft and the ability to sell and to be able to fund it. And really look at the followers as just a widget. It really means not that much. You know, 10 to 15 good customers that come back to you and buy everything you have is worth way more than 100,000 followers that might barely feel the necessity to hit a like button or whatever, or maybe follow you. It does not equal the kind of attention or the kind of validation that you might be looking for. And it means far less now than it did before because most people don't even see what you're posting up. So I hope that helps and it's educational. And if you have questions on this, you know, I work in technology all the time and a lot of these things make sense to me. There's a lot of, you know, technical reasons why this stuff happens. It's not always the malevolence on the social media provider, but they do have a business to run. And they do have, you know, legalese and things like that that they're following in addition to personal agendas of, you know, the ownership and people who are making these rules. So just remember that, and not everybody is against you, but there's definitely a lot of people that are not for you. And, you know, they're not trying to promote you. And if that's the case, you need to find a different circle of friends or, you know, avenues to sell your stuff and to be the largest advocate for your work, because a lot of people won't speak up. Other makers, you know, they'll follow you, but they won't speak up and try to market your stuff. You got to, you know, work through that by yourself. You got to build up your brand and your business and your sales channels. And then you have to be protective of that, because that is the way that you're selling it. Always try not to keep an egg in too many eggs in one basket, because if that basket breaks, then, you know, you're going to have problems, as we see on social media today.